Good morning to each and every one of you. Again, what a joy to be together, to sing songs of praise. Thank you, Cor, for some good song leading there. I think most of us have heard about the movie Shawshank Redemption. Anybody has heard about it? I see some heads nodding. Shawshank Redemption, I'm not so much interested in what the movie really is all about, but there is one item that I would like to share. What is the item that I want to share? There is a man, he goes into prison, but he is not guilty. And from the very first moment, he makes a plan. He wants to escape, he wants to get out of that prison. And what happens? At the very end of the movie, you see him on a beach somewhere in South America. He has a bank account that is very large, because what happens in the movie is that this man becomes the helper of the warden, I think you call it, right? The warden. He becomes the helper even financially. So, and he is a banker, so he knows exactly what to do with the money. So he gets all the money into a separate bank account, and when he is able to get out of prison, or when he gets himself out of prison with a little hammer, in the end of the movie, he's in South America, he's on the beach, he has a little boat, and he's enjoying his freedom. What is the moral of that story? The moral of that story, at least one of them, is he made a good plan. He made a plan, he succeeded in his plan, and eventually he was out and he sat on a beautiful beach in South America. Did you hear about the four guys that wanted to escape from prison? Well, I tell you about them. They made a plan to get out of prison. They dug themselves a hole, but they ended up in the courtroom. So they got right back into prison with another 20 years on their heads. What do these two stories tell us? These two stories tell us it is important to plan. It is important to really think about what you are doing, because it defines the outcome of your plan. So you look at Lot's life. Lot, again, we read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 5, he was the nephew of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 13, we read in verse 2 and 5, they were both very rich. Their folds, their herds, become so many that they had, that Abraham had to say to Lot, you make a choice where you and your shepherds are going. If you go to the left, then I go to the right. If you go to the right, then I go to the left. And of course, Lot made a decision. But what was the result of his decision? Number one, they became a part of a war. In Genesis 14, verse 1 through 11, you read about Lot in the midst of a war. Number two, in verse chapter 14, verse 12, they had to relocate because of that war. Chapter 19 tells us he lost his wife and his two sons-in-law. In chapter 19, we read he had to endure the shame of incest. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, it says that he vexed his soul daily when he saw what the people of Sodom and Gomorrah was doing, were doing. So what does that mean? When we look at Lot, Lot made a decision. But he got so much more than what he bargained for. What did he bargain for? Well, the text does not really say that, but we can basically imply what he bargained for. He had many herds, he had many animals, he had many shepherds. There was not enough food for both of them. And what did he do? It says in chapter 13, verse 10, Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. So what did Lot see? He saw lots of water. What did he bargain for? He bargained for a beautiful future. He bargained for, my herds will have water every day because I am going towards a place. He bargained probably for a good future for his wife and his children, because good water means the flock is going to be fed, which means there is good produce, which means a nice house, which means a nice family, which means a full fridge, which means a good future, right? That's what he probably bargained for. But what did he get? He was part of war. He had to relocate. He lost his wife and two sons-in-law. He had to endure the shame of incest, and he vexed his soul every single day. Is that what he bargained for? Well, likely not. He had bargained for a beautiful future, two daughters, sons-in-law, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that is what he bargained for.
It's a good advice from this time. When you move to your new house, check what neighbors you will have.
Good point, Evgeny. Very good point. And check out some more things, I would like to say. That's one of them. Well, think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were tempted to make a choice. But did Satan tell them that before you make this choice, Adam and Eve, remember, you will lose your vital connection with God. Before you do that, you will die physically. Before you do that, you will be taken out of the garden. Before you do that, in pain, you will bring forth your children. Before you do that, the ground will bring forth thistles and thorns. Before you do that, in the sweat of your brow, you will labor. Before you do that, the desire will be to your husband. If they would have thought about all of that, would they have done this? And the answer is, of course, no. Judas had a weakness for money. We know that from John chapter 12. What did he bargain for? Ah, I got some good money. Ah, means a good future. I'm going to be happy. Life is going to be good. But what happened? He was not able to live with his shame. He committed suicide. What about David? He saw a beautiful woman bathing. Ah, that's nice. Wow. Gonna have some fun. Gonna have some good times. Gonna have a nice party. Whatever what exactly was going on in his mind. But what happened? He committed adultery. She became pregnant. He had to kill her husband. And the sword would never leave his house. What did he bargain for? And what did he get? The inspired book tells us in John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Brothers and sisters, it is important for us that we make good decisions. How many decisions do we need to make? Well, we are making decisions every single day. Small decisions, bigger decisions. But we make a lot of decisions every day. And the Bible helps us to understand, and Lot, the story of Lot, the story of Adam and Eve, the story of David, the story of Judas, they become an inspiration to us to really think about the decisions that we are making. What does Satan tell the young man and the young girl? Take some drugs. It's nice. It's good. Have some fun. Be together with your friends. But he doesn't tell you the other things. You will get addicted. You will need some money and start robbing. You will have to go to prison. You will lose all your dignity. You will have to sell your body because of the money that you need in order to buy the drugs. Satan tells us, take the job of all jobs. But it's far away. It will give all the money that you want. It will give you a future like Lot. But he doesn't tell you the other things. It will be in a place where there is no church. Your kids will be influenced more by worldly children than godly children. The car drives will be very long, so after a while you say, you know, let's skip a number of times. Your wife will feel alone and be depressed. You will lose your children to the world. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a world in which we have to make a lot of choices. And every choice has consequences, right? Every choice has a consequence. And you know what? Satan, he offers a beautiful facade. He offers a beautiful outside. Again, when we think of Lot, hey, Lot, take that side. It will make you happy, give you a lot of money. Your herds will never be without water. But he forgot. And read chapter 13 again. He moved himself closer to Sodom and Gomorrah. First he was out of the city, later he was in the city. Satan offers you a facade. He offers you a beautiful outside. But the plans of Satan are rotten to the very core. That is what Satan is all about. And brothers and sisters, the Bible says we are children of light. We have the accessible, we have the access to what is light. We have the access to what is called God. We have the access to what is called in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Whatever decision you have to make, you always start with asking God. Whether it's a small decision, whether it's a bigger decision. I don't like to talk about myself, but let me say this. I was single till I was about 47. I have seen some dark roads. I've seen some heavy clouds. I've seen some great disturbance in my life when I was single. But I prayed. And I prayed. And I prayed. Where am I today? I am blessed with a beautiful wife, with a heart of gold. Brothers and sisters, again, I don't like to talk about myself, but it is so important that you make the right decisions. Our choices. Where do we live? An important question. Many people, and even Christians, and we probably know some of them, that said, you know, we found a good job. And then we ask the question, is there a church? Well, I have not really thought about that yet. But let's hope and pray that there will be one. Well, don't hope and pray that there will be a church. Make sure there is a church. And just not a church, but make sure that there is a church where they love the Lord. Where they love one another. Where they love the truth. Where they love what is right. We probably know of some people that were once within our midst that are not there anymore. Where do we go to school? Where do we send our children to school? Important question. Some people say, well, this is just convenient. It's close by. Other parents say, well, you know, it might be close by, but I make another choice. I will take my bike. I will take my car in the morning and take my children to that school because there they have Christian values. And the church that is around the corner, it's a public school. And I don't say that every public school is wrong. But what about the choices that we make, the choices that we make for our children? What about our work? What about our friends? Who are your friends? Who are your closest contacts? Because really, when you look at the life of Lot, did it only affect himself? It affected many, many others. Because again, Lot made a choice. But his sons-in-law, they died with Sodom and Gomorrah. His own wife died because he turned around. His daughter said, we go childless. Let's get our father drunk. And let us lay with him so that we will have a child. Look at the consequences that happened because of one choice. And I guess we can rightly say it was a fleshly kind of choice. There is water. Ah, that's good for my herds. Good for my shepherds. Good for my future. Good for my family. Good for my daughters. Good for my sons-in-law. But what happened? Many lives were lost because one man made a choice. And let me say this. When we look at the Bible, the man is the head of the family. I would like to appeal to you and to myself as leaders of our houses, of leaders in the churches, of leaders at work, of leaders in different capacities. Whatever we do will have a consequence. It can have a consequence on your children. It has a consequence on your wife. It has a consequence on the people that you work with. Can I let Moses speak? Let's look at what Hebrews says in chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Look at these verses, three important words. Number one, or actually four, by faith. That's the first important word. Moses' life was built on faith in God. It was not built on faith in the material. It was not based on faith in the fleshly. It was not based on faith in money. It was not based on faith in belief in position or whatever you might say and add to that. By faith, Moses. And then the second word that is important, he refused. He said, no way. And look at what it says. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What does that imply? Jim, what does it imply? If you would be the son of Pharaoh's daughter, what would that mean?
Very rich and powerful.
Rich and powerful, right? Likely. But Moses said, no way. The next important word, choosing. He made a choice because he knew that his decision had a consequence. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He made a choice. Simple. He looked at God and he said, oh, that means I have to suffer. That means difficulty. That means hardship. That means work. And then on the other hand, the passing pleasures of sin. And as we said before, does sin have pleasure? Oh yes, sin has pleasure. But what does it say? The passing pleasures of sin. And that is important to remember for each one of us when we make our choices. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. The fourth important word, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. So he esteemed that being close to Jesus, that was riches in the first degree. And there is a fifth important word. We started out with three, we made it four, but there's another one. For he looked to the reward. He looked beyond it all. Now let's think about Lot. If Lot would have thought beyond it all, he could have said, okay, that water there, that looks really good. But if I look a little bit further, there is Sodom and Gomorrah. Uh-oh, don't do it, because there is a big chance my life will be influenced by Sodom and Gomorrah. That water looks good, but there is Sodom and Gomorrah, and Sodom and Gomorrah are known for their evil. It was not just a city or a combination of cities. They were evil. We know that from the book of Ezekiel. They were known for their evilness in a broad sense. And of course, especially for their homosexuality. If Lot would have looked beyond, he would have said, Abraham, you are my uncle. We need to make a good plan. How are we going to do this? You are an older man. Help me to understand what is a good choice. Because if I look beyond, I see too much evil on that side. And brothers and sisters, that is what we need to do. We need to look beyond. That is so important. That is so important in this life. When you go to the doctor, do you just use anybody that has the name doctor? If there is something wrong with your heart, you want to see a cardiologist, right? And you actually want to see the best one, right? To help you in the best possible way. When you are going to buy a new car, do you just go to a car dealership and say, you know, here's my money, just give me something that drives? No. You look on the internet. You start to compare prices because you want the best deal, right? And that's okay. That is important in life. But what are we saying? We are saying this. What do you do when you're at the traffic light and you want to cross the road? Do you just have your sight on the other side of the street and do not look at whatever else is happening on the street? That's not what you're doing. You think about, you look to the left, you look to the right, you look at if cars are coming, etc., etc. When you eat something, when you take something out of the fridge and you see a little bit of that green stuff, what are you doing? You just eat it? No, you check it out, right? Ah, that is mold. Guys, I'm sorry, but we cannot eat this. We have to throw it away. How many things are we doing in physical and fleshly life in which we really think about what we are doing? Today, we want to ask the question, what are you doing spiritually? What are the plans that you are making for yourself spiritually? What are the plans that you're making for the church spiritually? What are the plans that you're making for your family spiritually? What are the plans that you're making for your life? That is the important question that we need to ask. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord." What is this all about? It's all about understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that is what Moses did, right? Moses was thinking. Hebrews chapter 11. Moses was comparing what Egypt offered him and what God offered him. And so it is important to us, brothers and sisters. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to learn to think beyond. We need to learn to think in terms of, where does this lead us? Where does this lead myself? Where does this lead my family? Where does this lead? And that is the question that we need to ask, even today. Brothers and sisters, with those scriptures, and let me encourage you to read them again. Genesis chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we can name one after the other that made good and solid decisions. In some of their cases, it even cost them their lives. When you come to the end of the chapter, it even talks about some that were sawn asunder, that were killed. But what did they do? They acted by faith. And what is faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've heard that verse probably many times, but it is so important and so crucial. And what does that mean? As it says in Ephesians 5:17, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand, discern what the will of the Lord is." Brothers and sisters, with those words, let us encourage one another, but even more, let us admonish one another. The book of Hebrews says, admonish one another daily to make wise and solid decisions for yourself, for your family, for the church, and most of all, of course, for God. Amen.